Welcome to the Story Night podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Holmes. Today, we offer an exclusive podcast tease for tonight's event, Rebellion, Stories of You Say You Want a Revolution. The show starts tonight, March 28th at 7 p.m. at the Lennon Building. Priority seating tickets have sold out, but never fear. General admission tickets will be available at the door, too, at 6:30 p.m. for only $5. Trust me, this one will be revolutionary. To preview the event, we present guest storyteller Kelly Lene Robinson, who first appeared on stage with our musician Dan Costello as a featured storyteller duo for On the Road in July 2010. But her storied past with Story Night goes way back to our first event, Busted, in April 2010, when her name was drawn from the hat at our first ever Story Slam. Her tale was rebellion to the core, so I asked her to share the story again at length. Now, hear Kelly Lene experience a revolution of her soul after rebelling against deep-rooted religious dogma. Stay tuned in afterwards to hear an exclusive preview of a rebellious tune from her upcoming album.
I was born into a Baptist family. I learned all my Bible verses from when I was very young. I remember I must have been 3 or 4 years old when I could first recite John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That was what we believed. We believed that only through Jesus was salvation, that the Bible was literally true, every word. God created the world in 6 days. Mary was a virgin and God impregnated her with Jesus. That everybody who does not believe in Jesus is going to hell, the literal lake of fire, hell. I don't believe any of those things anymore. That didn't happen overnight. It was a very gradual process. In 1962, Thomas Kuhn wrote a book about changes in scientific theory called The Structure of Scientific Revolutions. In that book, he coined the phrase paradigm shift. A paradigm shift means that everything about the way you look at something changes. When the germ theory for disease came into scientific theory, that was a paradigm shift in the way scientists looked at disease. Nobody looked into other causes of disease from then on. They researched from that point forward. That's what I've gone through in my beliefs. I've gone through a total paradigm shift. I don't look at the world the same anymore. Thomas Kuhn said that a paradigm shift happens in a series of peaceful interludes punctuated by intellectually violent revolutions. And I really like that description because I feel like I went through a lot of intellectually violent revolutions to get where I am now. The first revolution was also my first act of rebellion. I rebelled against something that I was taught often and vehemently as a teenage girl: do not date a non-Christian. I had never rebelled against my parents up to that point because I never had a reason. I was a perfectly happy kid and was always active and creative. But when I was in high school, I fell in love with a non-Christian man. And that was a big deal in my house. My parents were very disappointed. My dad told me, I remember his exact words, "You have no business hugging and kissing someone who isn't a Christian." And I just thought, you're wrong. Even after I broke up with him and I was crushed and heartbroken, I was still glad that I'd done it. I was still glad that I had been in love with someone and felt that love back, even though it was messy and painful. This really threw a wrench in the engine for my Christian beliefs, because something that I had been taught was black and white in practice ended up being pretty morally ambiguous. And I wasn't able to look at topics with the same black and white distinction that I had applied before. The second thing that happened to revolutionize the way I looked at my belief was that I went to Christian college. I went to a very conservative Christian college, and I was looking for community, for something that I didn't feel I had in public school, which was a lot of like-minded people around me. But when I got to Christian college, I was very disappointed. Not only did it have the exact same ratio of douchebags to pleasant, reasonable people that public school had, but it had an added gossipy, petty quality to the dialogue. Because the school had such draconian rules, very specific dress codes, especially for women, specific rules about, like, when you can be around someone of the opposite sex, you weren't allowed to be one-on-one with someone of the opposite sex. You weren't allowed to touch someone of the opposite sex. And in order to enforce these totalitarian laws, basically, they recruited the students to tell on each other and encouraged them to be on the lookout for any immorality or rule breaking amongst their classmates. And that made for an unpleasant place to live. I always felt that people were trying to catch me doing something wrong more than they were trying to help me do something right. And it really destroyed some of my innocence about Christian community. I assumed that because Christianity claimed to have higher morals, they would also have better, healthier communities. And that was sadly disproven. After I finished 3 years of Christian college, I had to take a break. Partly for financial reasons, but also because I was having doubts as to whether that was somewhere I wanted to be anymore. And I moved back home to Idaho. I moved in with my parents and started going out to bars and playing at open mic nights because I was getting interested in playing music at that time. And this was the first time I ever really became friends with a gay person. I have had, of course, been taught that homosexuality was sinful and perverse my whole life, and yet was told that we're to love and accept gay people. But when you're in a tight-knit Christian community, you don't know any gay people. And whenever there is a situation of someone that's gay, it is riddled with scandal and negativity rather than being somebody that you get to know and try to understand them and why they feel that way. So when I had my first friendship with a lesbian, I was shocked to find that nothing I had been warned about gay people was true. There was nothing perverse and disgusting about anything that was going on. It was just another person trying to find love and an accepting, healthy relationship. This was probably the last straw of my beliefs. Up until this point, I was still hanging on to the core of Jesus's divinity and his sacrifice as propitiation for our sins. But after I realized that the Christianity was so wrong on such an important topic, it was hard for me to lend credit to any of the beliefs anymore. Then the last step, the last revolution I had to go through in my rebellion from Christianity was when I lost my virginity. And after that point, I knew that I didn't have any regrets, that my life was exactly the way it was supposed to be, and that the guilt that I felt associated with never being a good enough Christian, never feeling like I was meeting the expectations of those around me, just really melted away at that point. And now I have rebelled against everything my parents taught me about what makes a good and moral life. And I'm incredibly happy. I encourage others to do the same.
I came to the garden alone, and I had a hallucination of someone in the cosmos who cares for me. It was sunny, breezy, easy to believe. So I beat my body and made it my slave. And I tried to love God and pray every day, but I never fit in, I could never behave. I come to the garden alone, with my chimpanzee mind still groaning, with the melody the world sings to me, the blackness that wheels about indifferently, and it comes comforts me like you wouldn't believe, to know that I'm a marvelous monkey, and the guilt that I bore was nothing but folklore. Now to live and be good and happy.
Thanks, Kelly Linnae, for the beautiful voice and the powerful story. That song was an original work called In the Garden. We'll see you tonight for Rebellion, stories of You Say You Want, a revolution. Story Story Night is brought to you by presenting partner, the Boise State Story Initiative, venue partner, the Lennon Building, design partner, Neighborhood All-Stars, and our broadcast partner, Boise State Public Radio. Please donate now at radio.boisestate.edu. Tonight, we feature slam prizes from Boise Guest House and Rediscovered Books. And be sure to check out our whimsical and one-of-a-kind merchandise from new partner Bricolage. Our Story Story Night theme is by Dan Costello. Hear more at hearcostello.com. Please join us next week for the first installment of stories from Rebellion. Learn more at storystorynight.org.